Here is Tom Ackerman.
It's great to be along with you. Cardinal baseball at 1:15 today, 12:20 for the pregame. It's also the greatest day in motorsports, as we have three things going on today. Monaco, which has wrapped up, and we'll tell you about that in just a minute. The Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. Chris Blair of Worldwide Technology Raceway is in Indianapolis at the Motor Speedway. He will join us from Gasoline Alley and will be with us for the start of the Indianapolis 500, or at least the beginning. He'll get to a quiet spot before they get rolling. He's going to join us at 10:30 here. At 10:45, we'll stay in Indy with Mark Boyle, the radio voice of Indiana Pacers. They have a big game tonight against the Knicks. They're up 2-0 in that series. The Cardinals with a great win last night. Yesterday, I should say. I was there. It was in the afternoon, and a great win for Jordan Walker. Feel good for him. That was a performance that I think, you know, is indicative of where he is in his career. He's going to have some ups and downs. He had a misplay in right field. He felt bad for the young man. It got by him. He's got to get that, let that ball, can't let that ball get by him. He has to let that ball stay in front of him, but it did. It got by him, and then he comes back with another hit. He had a double to left, pumped his fists, and was fired up at second base. A clutch hit for him after striking out twice. Then the misplay in right field, and then he comes right back with the big hit to deliver as the Cardinals get a ball that, you know, I mean, a solid shot up the middle for Walker, too. Just a really good at bat, and Walker and the Cardinals walk away with a 6-5 win. Ryan Helsley locks it up. Cardinals are a good team. Are they a World Series contender? Look, they're a team that is in development and a good team that is going to make some noise in the NL Central, and that's where they are. They've won 15 of 19. I said it from the very beginning of the season. After a couple of weeks of frustration, I just was not going to let this season frustrate me. I'm just going to enjoy the fact that players are developing and that I like the entertainment value of the team and kind of see where that takes us. And where that has taken us is this team is two games out in the NL Central. They're going to chase the Cubs for a little while. The Reds are in the distance at the moment. The Reds won yesterday. They're 5.5 back. They're a game under 500, though. They need to get above 500 before they can become a contender. The Cardinals are 6 games over 500. The Cubs are 10 games over 500. Cardinals are 2 games behind them in the NL Central with a long, long way to go. It's May 25th, and these teams won't even play each other until June 23rd. So it's going to be a long time until we see the Cardinals and the Cubs go at it. And in a month, will they still be in this position or not? And after that's all over, will they be in a fight for the July 4th series at Wrigley Field? And then they go at each other a couple more times, including the last series of the season. A Cards-Cubs summer could be just what baseball needs, just what the Cardinals need with their fan base kind of, you know, still showing some protest, even though yesterday the stands were a little more full. There's still noticeable empty seats for a Memorial Day weekend series. But the Cardinals and Cubs going at it this summer, absolutely give it to me. I'm all for it. All for it. Here's the Cardinals lineup today. Lars Nootbaar leads off and plays left field. Mason Wynn is the shortstop batting second. Brendan Donovan bats third and plays second base. And Ivan Herrera is the DH batting cleanup. Does this sound familiar? It's the same lineup as yesterday, mostly. Alec Burleson is at first base batting fifth. Wilson Contreras still dealing with some back spasms this morning, so he is out for another game. Nolan Arenado is at third base batting sixth today. Jordan Walker will be back in right field batting seventh. Pedro Páez is the catcher today for Sonny Gray. Páez bats eighth. And Victor Scott II is the center fielder batting ninth. There's your lineup today. Nootbaar, Wynn, Donovan, Herrera, Burleson, Arenado, Walker, Páez, and Scott. There were so many great plays in the game yesterday that this one might get lost a little bit. In fact, I guarantee you it got lost. But I really like what they did in that eighth inning. Actually, no, it was before that. It was the seventh inning. So they start off with a Burleson hit and then Arenado walks. So you're in business here. You got first and second. And then Walker with his double to make it 3-1, and the place is electrified. But remember, now you have Walker standing at second by himself with nobody out. So what do you do there? You make contact. You keep adding on. You've got to get Walker home. A two-run lead, as we know, is not enough. And Victor Scott is facing a new pitcher. Merrill Kelly had a great game, but he gets removed from the game. His first walk of the game was the walk to Arenado after Matthew Liberatore pitched a great game on the other side. Neither of them walked anyone. That game was moving along. Anyway, Kelly walks Arenado, and then Walker doubles, and the walk burns him. Arenado scores the second run of that hit, and it's 3-1 Cardinals. But you got to get Walker home, and the Cardinals do a great job of that. Victor Scott grounds out, moves Walker to third, and then Joel Pozo. Drew, I'm going to tell you this. If you ever want to win a bet, when Pozo is up, just bet the person. Pozo, I'll bet you Pozo doesn't strike out. How much you want to bet? What odds will you give me? Because he doesn't strike out, ever. He has one strikeout all year. And Pozo makes contact on the Jalen Beeks pitch. In fact, Beeks makes a play on it, and Beeks throws him out. But Pozo grounds out and makes contact, and that gets Walker home. That's a huge run. You know, two guys making outs, but two guys making contact to get Walker home. That's good baseball. And Pozo gets Walker home. Now it's a 4-1 lead. And as we all know by now, they needed all four of those because the Diamondbacks came back on them. And we talked about the misplay by Walker. They end up giving up four runs in the top of the eighth and trail 5-4. And then the heroics from Walker again. And again, the Cardinals manufacture a run in that eighth inning. They play good ball. After Donovan strikes out, Herrera, who is the best hitter on this team, I think, draws a walk. He has such a good eye. Burleson with the double. They stop Herrera at third. And then Arenado does his thing, makes contact, gets the ground ball, and gets the run home. Herrera, as another walk, burns the Diamondbacks to tie the game. And then Walker with his RBI single. So there are some other things that happened in those seventh and eighth innings that I thought were great, and the Cardinals end up getting a very good win here, 6-5. Solid baseball team, a team that I think is going to be fun to watch. I would encourage you to listen to the games on KMOX, catch the games with Chip and Brad and Mark on FanDuel Sports Network when you can, and go to the game when you can. I mean, I will just encourage you to be there. I won't tell you what to do, but I will tell you what you're missing. And yesterday was just like a perfect American day. You know, it's a Saturday afternoon. It's Memorial Day weekend. You got kids all throughout the place because school is getting let out and it's Memorial Day weekend and people are starting to come together as families and traveling. Beautiful blue sky with a couple of clouds. That's it. I mean, it was a blue sky, perfect day. And the Cardinals won a ball game 6-5. That's why you become a Cardinals fan in the first place. And I think people are starting to work their way back to that. But we'll see. Great game yesterday. Now, it has been a very difficult day in the St. Louis area. A very difficult week, I should say, in the St. Louis area. And this is another hard day for people. Getting up in the morning and seeing homes, businesses, and this area destroyed in parts north. We're going to talk to Chris Zimmerman, the CEO of the St. Louis Blues, on how they are making a difference. We will encourage you to go to KMOX.com and donate to the Red Cross. We are partnering with Fox 2. We have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars already, and we're going to continue to do that. The Urban League needs your help. The Red Cross needs your help. We're going to talk about how you can help. But we'll also talk a little hockey with Chris Zimmerman. Then Chris Blair at 10:30. Then Mark Boyle of the Pacers at 10:45. We'll talk some Battle Hawks who are hot right now at 11:05. 11:15 is Lutz Fan and Steel. 11:30 is John Mozeliak. 11:45 is Bernie Miklas. It's a big show, and it's sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Cardinal baseball today at 1:15, 12:20 pregame. Greatest day in motorsports with the Monaco Grand Prix complete now. Lando Norris cruised to victory in Formula One. Indianapolis 500 is today. Chris Blair joins us from Indianapolis Motor Speedway in our next segment. And tonight is the Coca-Cola 600 on NASCAR's Cup Circuit in Charlotte. So we got a very busy day for motorsports fans. Hockey fans are treated to playoffs each and every day, and joining us is the CEO of the St. Louis Blues, who I am certain wishes that he was watching the Blues play in the playoffs, and that is Chris Zimmerman. How are you, Z? Great to be with you.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. Thanks. And yes, of course, it would be a pleasant and great thing to be out there right now. You know, this is it's a special time of year for hockey, and we would love to be back out there at this time, and we are going to keep fighting towards that.
Well, you will continue to make moves, I know, to get there. And I was walking the Arch grounds recently. I took a little walk around our national park, and I thought about that time, that rally. We were down there broadcasting live in the stage and the scene, and it feels like it wasn't that long ago, but you want to be there. You just are desperate to get back there, and it was so close. I mean, just by seconds to get to the next round.
It certainly was. It was a harsh way for a season to end, but it was also just a spectacular final 2 months of hockey, and the momentum and the energy that has once again behind this team gives us a great, great tailwind as we think about getting towards next season. And I think you really heard the commitment from the players, obviously from the coaching staff, through, you know, Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen. We have reset and we're moving forward. And I haven't felt this kind of energy behind our team since that 19 cup win.
Wow. Florida won 6-2 over Carolina. They're up 3-0 in that series today. It's Dallas and Edmonton. That's a 2:00 start. They're even at a game apiece. I had Tom Stillman on the show last week, and the chairman talked about, among other things, Alex Steen and his development, as he is a year away from taking over for Doug Armstrong. Let's get your thoughts on Steener and what he's done to get himself into that position, working hand in hand with Army.
Well, I think the big thing is that I see in Alexander Steen and the work that he's doing, that I like to use the phrase, he's a sponge. And he's a sponge for information and insight. And he's been working really to touch every part of the organization, including certainly the business operations, understanding the work we do, the role that the players, that the hockey staff plays in that. I'm just really impressed with Steener and how he's thinking about it. And it's a sense of both being close enough to understand the needs of the players and the needs of a, if you will, a different generation of player. And at the same time, thinking forward and thinking about what this next stage means and what it's going to take to get back to the cup.
Chris, what about the Blues from a health standpoint financially and tickets for that matter? When do tickets start to go back on sale, and what do you anticipate from your fan base? So what are you hearing from them?
Well, that I mentioned before, momentum and energy, and we've already we've renewed season tickets. We've already hit our goal. I think it's 93%. There's always people who have different life conditions and different reasons why they might not come back. But so whether it's renewals, seeing the amount of new season tickets pick up, our sponsorship partners are ready to go. People want next season to come in a way I haven't seen for quite a while. And that's the type of energy that we need. You know, we'll start the year with that 15-game home winning streak intact, and that the fans created an energy there that certainly the players, Monty talked about, that I think we are building off right now. And so it's not about them going on sale. They're on sale. We renew early in the year, and lots of indicators that people are interested. in making sure they're part of this next wave of Blues hockey.
Well, it's a big year of hockey and a big year for Enterprise Center in your 30th anniversary season, and you have the U.S. Figure Skating Championships coming. You got the NCAA tournament coming. The Frozen Four was here. I took my daughter. She's going to Miami of Ohio, where she will be immersed in college hockey, so she had a blast with all of that. But you had so much, the PWHL, you had college championships at Centene Community Ice Center in Maryville. It was a busy year for the heartland of hockey.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a great year for hockey, quite honestly, and touching all the different levels from the women's game to the college game, both NCAA as well as the club hockey championships being back in St. Louis. That's been our goal, to get as deeply connected to the game, to touch it in every way we can, to bring bring hockey to St. Louis. And certainly the work that we did to establish new facilities at certainly Centene, the Maryville Ice Center, and then the work that we did at the Enterprise Center to make that once again a top tier facility. And I think on top of that, what I'm really proud of is the way our staff, from our game staff, our host, through to everybody involved in the building, when people come into Enterprise Center, when they come into St. Louis, they feel our energy, they feel the excitement, and it's really becoming one of our differentiating factors that's helping us to continue to win really these great events that are coming, that'll continue to come and that we'll continue to bid for.
And Blues fans are great fans as well. And I grew up a Blues fan. I remember distinctly growing up going with my dad for the first time in the early 80s and then watching those teams try and fail to make it. And then in the 90s, the excitement of Brett Hall and Adam Oates and scoring goals every night and such great times. And then I started covering the team in the late 90s, and that's when I met Mark Sauer. It was right around the time that the team was having some success, winning the President's Trophy and beyond. And Mark Sauer was so kind to me. I was really nobody. I mean, I was just a young reporter, but he just took to me just as he did to so many people. Very warm, inviting, and I'm very sad about his passing, Chris. I know that you have many people working in your building that feel the same way.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mark's contributions to Blues hockey were certainly significant. He set a certain level of excellence during his time leading the organization. And it's, you know, I always have felt a real, if you will, sort of debt to the people who have come before me, before our entire organization, and built this, the ethic, if you will, of the Blues that has led to us creating one of the great hockey markets in America and in the NHL. And it's certainly marked with the people that he brought in, the winning tradition that organization had during that time period is a pretty powerful legacy that we all work to continue to build on.
Mark Sauer was the Blues chief executive officer and president from 1996 to 2006. The president and CEO of the St. Louis Blues, Chris Zimmerman, is with us now. And final thing is what you are doing for our community. I know that all of our teams and our leaders are coming together to help what has been a devastating tornado and multiple touches of tornadoes through the area that has just decimated parts of this area. What are you doing to give back on behalf of the St. Louis Blues, Chris?
Well, it is devastating. And as you know, Tom, it's going to be a long road on a lot of the cleanup and a lot of the work that needs to be done. We've partnered with both the Urban League, the Red Cross, and the United Way. Every one of those entities has meaningful programs going on. We're in a fundraising mode, both with a 50-50, where all of those proceeds will go back to those programs. We've also got, we've been out volunteering. Those are needs that each of the programs that are happening to support the community, they need people. And again, I see this going on for quite a while. And so we've been out doing that and just recognizing that the need is broad. And though we may only, any single entity, any company, any individual can only do so much, it is going to be the power to continue to come together. So people go to our app, our website, you'll see a couple of those different opportunities to participate. We've got auction going on. So we're working on the financial front, on the people front, and also just trying to be a voice that can help all of these entities. If you don't mind, I want to mention one program that we're getting involved with, which is all around supporting food trucks going out into the community in places that people may not have transportation. They're just going to be some of the greater needs up front. And working with the United Way, if people went to helpingpeople.org/stormrelief, and I'll send that to you, Tom, $10 feeds a person, $4,000 feeds 400 people through a food truck for a day. And these are programs that I think are really, really meaningful. And we're looking forward to support and joining in with so many others. I do think that this is a big moment for our community to come together and to show the strength that we can have in helping each other.
I agree. So many good ideas in there to give back and to be there. Just to be there, and just the thought that you would get up this morning and go volunteer, or just to be present and to give, that's what St. Louis is all about. We were built on that, and we are known around the country as being a very generous area, and now here we are giving back to our own. Chris, thank you for all of that. We appreciate it. I know that people will use those resources as you continue to aid a number of organizations, fundraising proceeds, benefiting the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Efforts and the United Way of Greater St. Louis Severe Storm Tornado Relief Fund. There it is right up on the screen there, helpingpeople.org/stormrelief.
Yeah, thank you for that, Tom.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yep, you bet. Thank you for this, Chris. Thanks for the time. Best of luck with your organization. As well as I do, before you know it, they're in training camp. I mean, the hockey season moves so fast. So we appreciate
it. We'll be back at it soon. But we're back, quite honestly, we're back at it now. Mm-hmm. But thanks, everybody. We're really appreciative. I think you heard it from players, from our coaches. Our fans came through and supported this club in a major way. That energy is powerful. We'll look forward to that next year. We'll also look forward to that power supporting our community.
Thanks so much, Chris. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tom.
Chris Zimmerman, the president and CEO of the St. Louis Blues. We take a break. When we come back, Sports on a Sunday Morning takes you to Indianapolis. The Indy 500 is about to run. It will start in just about an hour and a half. And joining us is Chris Blair, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway. He is there in Gasoline Alley. Back with Chris after this. The 109th running of the Indianapolis 500 is today in Indianapolis, and joining us is the Executive Vice President, General Manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway, Chris Blair, joining us. How are you, Chris?
Well, good, Tom, and guess what?
What?
It's sprinkling in Indianapolis.
Oh, no.
It seems like every time I call you from a racetrack anymore, from Daytona, Indianapolis, whatever, it's usually sprinkling when I talk to you.
Our producer,
it looks like it's going to blow over.
Our producer, Drew Young, just asked me, what's the weather there? And I looked earlier, I said, 60s and cloudy, not raining, I don't think. But now Chris telling us it's sprinkling a little bit. I guarantee you that won't slow down the party. I've been there for rain before. I was there the year that was 97. When they got rained out twice, and they ran the thing on Tuesday, and I went to all 3 days.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Tom, I've been coming here for years, and I've never seen an Indianapolis 500 like this one. I mean, it's comparable to the 100th running. I mean, the place is sold out. There are people crammed everywhere. It's amazing. It's simply amazing. So it's got me really excited, hoping this wave of enthusiasm for IndyCar racing continues for at least another 3 weeks, because I'd love to have just a tenth of this crowd here in St. Louis. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you would. 350,000 anticipated at the racetrack today. And at your track on June 15th, Father's Day, you've been moved to a night race. When I heard that, I said, oh, Chris Blair's a happy man, and you're not the only one. That's big time. You get on the big Fox network, and you get a night race at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm feeling pretty happy. We're bumping Bart Simpson and Stewie Griffin for Pat O'Ward and Alex Palou that day. So that's a great one for us. And a lot of people just didn't really know what to expect about that. And I said, you know, this for us, Sunday night prime time, it's never been done before, and we love being the ones that try new and crazy things. So I mean, this could be the start of something. As I was telling some folks the other day, I'm sure that when the NFL fans saw that schedule back in 1970, there was going to be a Monday night game in Cleveland, they were probably shaking their heads wondering what was going on. This might be one of those moments for us. You know, it could be the start of Sunday night IndyCar for quite a while. We're pretty excited about that. It's
yeah,
great.
All for it. June 15th, Worldwide Technology Raceway, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. The defending champion is Joseph Newgarden. In fact, he's won at your track five times. He's also the defending champion of the Indy 500. He's trying to win three in a row. Chris, it's going to be difficult. He starts from the 32nd spot, getting bumped back after the penalty to Team Penske. But I've got to say, he's got a great car, and he'll be up for the challenge if anybody is, he is.
Well, I tell you what, we were watching him in practice the other day, and it was hard not to watch him. He was absolutely incredible, either on the solo runs or when he was out there running with the pack. He's the fastest guy on the track, and I think he's extra motivated. His pit crew won the pit crew contest on Friday, so they're motivated. So they're going to make sure they're getting him on and off pit road, which is key here. And he's going to be going wide open to the front. I think before the halfway point of the race, he's going to be a factor in who's up front.
He is your defending champion. He loves your track. And I think that, you know, they're two totally different, for those not as familiar with IndyCar racing or motorsports in general, two totally different experiences. You have a long, long endurance race going on in Indianapolis, basically, with a lot of laps and a lot of distance. At your track, it is a balance between you have to be a great driver and you have to prep. And I think the drivers have had and have learned to have fun at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Tight turns one and two, a little more flat and open in turns three and four, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I always like to say ours is the closest thing these guys are going to get to going back to the roots of sprint car racing, because, you know, it's a quick racetrack, short track, no two turns are the same. You have to be aggressive. You have to be hammered down the whole time. So it's really a sprint to the finish, where this is more of an endurance run. And that just means there's going to be a lot of action. Last year, there's 676 passes, 22 lead changes among 11 different drivers. You just don't get that anywhere else. So that's why everybody loves it. It's just a fun race to watch, and it's a fun race to be a part of.
I love that these two races, the Indianapolis 500 and the Bomarito Automotive Group 500, are just weeks from each other, right on top of each other. The fans can make plans, and they will. I assure you that from Indiana will come over and attend your race. And I know that you've made it enticing for St. Louis fans, both sports and music fans, to enjoy your race. You make it a weekend of activity, just like you do for NASCAR, Chris.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we really wanted to lean into this. We've seen such a huge response from the Confluence Music Festival that, you know, we partnered up with Discover Downstate Illinois Tourism. They're helping us out by bringing Soul Asylum, Cracker, and Sponge to the race weekend. So we've got that now going on. We've expanded out our campground. We've got concerts that'll be taking place in the campground every night. Our goal is that when you go to Worldwide Technology Raceway, you're going to an event and a happening And that's what our number one mission is. And we're seeing that that works. People love it.
They do. Before we go, and I've partnered with you for a long time on this since way before the pursuit of NASCAR Cup, but we have it, and now it's our fourth year. I got to get your thoughts on what the buzz is right now about Kyle Larson. What's the latest on Larson? Is he is attempting, and this rain doesn't help, attempting to run the Indianapolis 500 and then head over to the Coca-Cola 600 tonight in North Carolina.
It's a huge buzz here. I just saw Steve O'Donnell, the president of NASCAR. He was out here on the grid. He's going to watch Kyle race here, and then he's heading to Charlotte to watch him also. But it's got everybody's attention. You know, everybody wants to see what's going to happen. That's why when, as soon as these sprinkles started, everybody groaned, and that's the first thing everybody talked about was not if the race was going to be delayed. Everybody's talking about what's it going to do to Kyle. But I think he's going to be pumped up. We can get this thing in. He's going to be flat out all the way around on both. And it's just phenomenal to see that. I remember when Tony Stewart did it. I remember when Kurt Busch did it. It just really says something about the whole sport that you get, you know, people from both sides all cheering for the one guy. You want to see him do good. So it adds that extra element to this race weekend, and we're all excited for it.
He is the greatest driver on the planet right now, and he's been such a big part of your race and has helped you market that race, the NASCAR race. And I think a lot of people in St. Louis will be pulling for Kyle Larson today to be there for both and have success. Who knows? I mean, who knows what he might be able to do? It's going to be a lot of fun. I love the Indianapolis 500 with all my heart. And Chris Blair, who is the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway, is there. I am envious, and I can't wait to see you when you get back for your race on June 15th, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500.
All right, Tom, thanks. Let's just pray that the sun comes back out and this thing stays dry. We need a good race today.
All right, have a great time. We appreciate it. Say hi to everyone at Fox.
I sure will. Take care, Tom.
There is Chris Blair, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway. Fox is going to have his race in 3 weeks on June 15th. It's going to be a night race in St. Louis, Madison, Illinois. It's going to be unbelievable. Love Indy 500. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to stay in Indianapolis. The radio voice of the Indiana Pacers is Mark Boyle. Once upon a time, he worked right here at KMOX. He is the longtime voice of the Pacers, and they have a huge game tonight. What a day in Indianapolis. You have the 500 and then the Pacers and Knicks with the Pacers up 2-0. We'll be back right after this on KMOX. Welcome back to the show from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We've had a good one already. The CEO of the Blues, Chris Zimmerman, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway at the Indy 500, Chris Blair. Now we go back to Indianapolis. Oh, what a night they're going to have. The Pacers and the Knicks will play Game 3 tonight in front of that raucous crowd with the Pacers up 2-0 and the radio voice of the Indiana Pacers, a KMOX alum, is Mark Boyle. Mark, it's great to have you back on the radio station. How are you?
I am well, Tom. How are you?
I am doing great. It's great. Tell me first, relive, if you will, your days here at KMOX Radio.
Well, literally, they were days. I came there in July of 88, and I left to go to the Pacers in September. So I can't remember the exact dates, but I was there 2 months, maybe. It was a place I always wanted to work because when I was growing up in Minneapolis, you know, you could hear it at night. And Jack Buck was doing games, and Harry Carey was around, and Dan Kelly on the hockey, and it was an iconic radio station. I always wanted to work there. But the way things worked out, I was only there for like 10 seconds.
But when you are a KMOXer for 10 seconds, you're a KMOXer for life. That's just the way it is. So
I appreciate that.
We take you in the family as well, and we appreciate all that you're doing representing us out there. And as the voice of the Pacers, you got yourself a heck of a basketball team. And let me start with this. One heck of a coach. I mean, this Rick Carlisle is something special. Tell me about your relationship with Carlisle.
Well, we go back to the late 90s. He came here as an assistant coach under Larry Bird. And he was in that role for the 3 years that Bird was the head coach. After that, he went to Detroit. He came back here as the head coach. He was here for 4 years in the early O's, and then he went to Dallas, had a great run where he won a championship, and now he's been here for the last few seasons. So I've known him for almost 30 years. He's a fascinating guy. He's a self-taught pianist. He's a licensed pilot. He's not a typical coach, if there is such a thing. in this specific regard. If you ask him a question, at least privately, if he trusts you, you'll get a very thoughtful answer. And it's not cookie cutter response. And I'll tell you this, Tom, about him. The thing that impresses me most, his record speaks for itself. He doesn't need me to advocate for him in terms of being a great coach. But when he was here back in the day, he was old school. He was very much a control freak, called all the plays from the sidelines. But as the game has evolved and changed, he's done the same thing. And now his team is free-flowing and running. He doesn't call any plays. He lets the players play. He's adapted to the mindset of the young player now without losing any of his expertise or his standards. He does have boundaries, and players have to adhere to them, but they're not nearly what they were before. And one of the reasons he's been so successful is because he's so good at adapting, which is not that easy to do.
That's well said. And I think that his teams do all the little things well. You know, it's a very good basketball team. And I think that in this day and age, we watch YouTube clips, SportsCenter clips, and we experience sports through clips. So we see Halliburton's shot. We see all the acrobatics and amazing plays. But wouldn't you agree, Mark, that this team is physical around the glass? They defend. They make key passes, share the ball. They do a lot of little things that you have to do to win. Maybe they've snuck up on some people, but they're as a complete team as anybody in the league.
I think maybe they've snuck up on the casual fan, but I don't think they've snuck up on anybody who's in the NBA. They know this team made it to the conference finals last season. They know they're explosive. They know they're well coached. And they do have an Achilles or two. Notably, they're an extraordinarily poor rebounding team, and that's been a problem even when they've been winning. But they're tenacious. They're competitive. They fit together beautifully. They play the game in a manner that's really hard to defend. And while they're not great defensively, they're good enough because they're so good in other areas. And it's a team effort. It's not just the coach being brilliant, which he is. It's not just the players being good and committed, which they are. And they do have Tyrese Halliburton, who has become a marquee player. That said, they're still more of an ensemble cast than most teams in the NBA. Parts are not interchangeable, but they're critical. When they started 10 and 15, it was in large part because they didn't have Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith, two players who are well-respected and well-known in the NBA, but I think maybe the casual fan is not at all aware of how important they are. And that's what I mean when I say it's an ensemble cast. They fit together beautifully. They play wonderful team basketball. They're fun to watch. I don't know how far they'll get. They might lose the next four, or they might not lose again and win the championship. Most likely something in between, but they're a delight to watch in large part because of the way they're coached and the commitment of the players.
Couple more things for Mark Boyle. What is it like to experience a silent Madison Square Garden, and let alone go to Madison Square Garden in a playoff atmosphere?
You know, Tom, I say this all the time. Madison Square Garden, this is a dichotomy, so follow along. Madison Square Garden is easily the biggest dump in the NBA. That said, it's easily the coolest arena in the NBA because of what goes on and how passionate the fans are, the history, the aura, the mystique. And we've seen this before. The Pacers and Knicks have had a longstanding rivalry. They played in the playoffs 8 times, 3 times in the conference finals. And if you get one in their building, it's like a library. When they're at their peak, when the Knicks are going well, it's hard to hear yourself think, and that's not unlike any arena, but Madison Square Garden, for some reason, it's just more fun if you're with the visiting team to hear it go quiet. And we saw that, especially in game one, when the Pacers staged another really unpredictable type rally to win that game.
Boy, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's one of the things about New York fans that works against them is when things don't go well, it is really, really quiet. And when things do go well, obviously, it's an absolute party. And
well,
so,
you know what, though, yeah. Tom, it's not just the fans. Like, there is no better place to be a professional athlete when you're going well than New York. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's no worse place to be a professional athlete when you're not going well than New York. After the Pacers won game one, the headline on the back page of the New York Post was Choke 2.0. So if you're going well, it's just fantastic. You can do no wrong. You pay for nothing. Life is a dream. But if you're going poorly, it's a nightmare. And I think that that's sort of an East Coast thing, but it's more true in New York than anywhere else.
I agree. That back page was unbelievable with the choking signal of Reggie and of Tyrese. Mark Boyle is with us. One last thing. So now you come home, and you're playing the Knicks tonight in Indianapolis. I am an Indiana University graduate. I feel like I know Indiana fans very well. I've been to countless games in Assembly Hall. Tell me about the Pacer fan base.
Well, they're similar to most in that the loyal fans are loyal no matter what. But the difference here, and perhaps it's because it's a small market, the loyal fans are not nearly as large in number as they are in some other cities. So you'd be surprised. You know, everyone thinks this is the basketball capital of America, and they do love the sport here. But I'll give you an example. The Pacers have the lowest price tickets in the NBA, yet they still sell out less than half their games. So it's like any other city. There are exceptions, Portland being one. I think St. Louis with the Cardinals is an exception. But generally, if your team's not good, they ignore you here. If you are good, though, they're in your corner. In other words, what I'm saying, Tom, is this. It's like 98% of the fan bases in the United States. It's a bandwagon town. And if you're going well, the bandwagon doesn't have enough room for all the folks, and they are passionate. And on a day like today, when we have the Indianapolis 500 in the afternoon and a game at night, it's a madhouse here.
Oh, I totally get that. And I appreciate you being with us. I think that to get you on a game day is very special. Thank you for making the time. It's going to be a heck of a night and day in Indianapolis, as you mentioned, with the 500 followed by Pacers, Knicks. And it's great to hear your voice back on the radio station. When I was producing for Ron Jacober, I do believe we had you on a time or two, and I've heard you through the years. It's great to chat with you again.
Oh, I've been on with Ron. I've been on with Jim Holder. I've been on occasion over the years since I've been here. This is my 37th season here. And I will tell you this for future reference, since I am a proud alum, you can call me anytime and I'd be glad to be on.
It's great to have you on. Thanks a lot. Have a great day and good luck tonight.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Mark Boyle, radio voice of the Indiana Pacers. They've got the Knicks tonight. When we come back after the news, much more Lutz Fan and Steel, John Mozeliak, Bernie Miklas on KMOX.